Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Showtime Radio Time. I am your host, Sweet Rascally Rabbit, broadcasting to you live in your sweet, beautiful ears. No matter how ugly you think they are. Give me just 1 second. I forgot to fill my water bottle. Because I want to make sure that my throat is not parched when I read to you my book. All right, so we are continuing the book that I've been reading for the past, month, I believe it is. Yeah, because I started on the 13th. Or no, last month. Last month. The 13th of last month. Yikes, and that was a Friday. Wow, how'd I miss Friday the 13th? Well, if you're just now tuning in and you're wondering what is going on today, I've been reading books that I've written myself personally. Only, I think, one or two were not mine. One was from the Nancy Drew series because I was reading it in honor of a friend of mine. Well, in honor of the ghost writer of that particular book, because it turned out that she was the aunt of, was it aunt or great aunt? I can't remember, of a friend of mine. And the other book was The Westing Game. Really great book. I love that book. Anyways, so the book that I've been reading since last month is called The Royal Conspiracy. It is about, well, it's basically, you know, the description that I have in my segment for today. It's inspired by different Prince and the Pauper films, even the book, if possible. Although I haven't really read the book, I probably should. I love Mark Twain. This book tells of two smart women. The adopted heiress learned to survive. The princess had a fashion designer for a father figure. Though they led two separate lives in different worlds, they held so much in common. They would have grown their lives apart. But I made sure that in the book, they didn't. They actually bump into each other and they switch lives. They decide to switch roles in their lives. Even though it's basically the same thing. So the heiress, technically she's not an heiress yet because she's supposed to be inheriting her adopted father's royal tribe. And the princess, well, she's trying to solve the problems for her people because her family is running low on gold, or rather the money that's in the royal mines. And she's actually about to figure out a particular mineral that was actually just discussed in the previous book reading. And as it turns out, this might be the solution, but she's not positive. And she's actually discovering this, being in the presence of her friend's adopted father, the heiress's father. So, and this is when she had met this prince from another tribe. Apparently, the adopted father is trying to ally with another tribe, and in doing so, he has to agree to this particular condition where the prince wants to presents these new coins that are part of the new currency in the country, not the kingdom, but the country, which is weird because I never gave a name to the country. But he wants to show these new coins to the queen, but instead of bringing the originals, he wants to make them, which is probably not a good thing. The adopted father, who I call the Keef, which is basically king/chief. I put the two words together. The Keef, he doesn't agree to this. And he actually shows the flaws. He actually expresses the flaws that he sees in it. So that's actually where we stopped. So I'm going to go ahead, even though I'm a few minutes early in this, I'm going to go ahead and start reading since I've already expressed of what's been going on. I really do hope you guys are enjoying this book so far. If not, and you're just now tuning in, you have a lot to catch up on. Of course, this episode will become a podcast at some point today. All my episodes are podcasts. You can download them, listen to them, make sure you're up to date with this book. I'm actually super excited because this is actually one of my favorite parts in The Royal Conspiracy. Ah, I love it. Okay, so I am going to go ahead and start reading. As she eyed the platinum coin, the princess grew curious. She tried to get a closer look. Paolo saw her attempt and put the coin away. He then looked at the keys. May we talk in private? I'd feel better if no one was listening to this. There is no need. She is my daughter and heir. She has a right to know what goes on in our family tribe. The prince scoffed. She is not your daughter. She does not resemble you one bit. Hearing his voice raised, some of the tribe's people came out certain rooms. They wanted to know what was going on. I would hold my tongue if I were you, Paolo. She will be next after I pass. You should at least show some respect. Teacher's face turned red. His pulse raced, as did his thoughts. He didn't want the prince to realize she came from the royal family. The Keith had to act quick, but Paolo spoke too soon. And what's with that spot behind our ear? It can't be dirt. The thing looks like a horse. His voice carried throughout the hall. Some of the people narrowed their brows. They knew very well Tineski had a bell birthmark. Teacher then noticed them. His eyes widened. His head shook out of anger. It's not a horse. It's a bell, he hissed. He pointed toward a door after getting rid of the anger shakes. Get out. I guess I will have to find someone else then. Paolo huffed off. Still angry, the Keef looked around. He saw his people confused and startled. One, in fact, was about to speak. Peter took a deep breath. If anyone ever says Tineski is not my daughter, there will be consequences, and they won't be pretty. He grabbed Mosey's arm and pulled her toward the mini courtyard they had. Sorry, Mosey is short for Moira. Hey, what are you doing? She cried. Whoops, forgot her accent. She winced and whimpered. Mosey pulled away, but couldn't get out of his grip. She gulped in fear. The princess realized she had made a mistake by creating a rift between Mr. McAllister and his adopted daughter. He let her go when they reached the back courtyard. Jeez, Dad, I've never seen you so angry. He glared at her. Mosey gulped. Because of your curiosity, you have ruined my chances of becoming with the Koro tribe, he hissed.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean... Wait, what? Why be allies with another tribe? We should try to ally with the queen.
Do you not remember, Tineski, what you've been taught all these years? We do not ally with the city leaders. Otherwise, we have too much power to keep our tribe secret. We are...
He stopped himself after he remembered he was talking to the princess. Teacher scoffed. He stuck his stiff hands out as he whispered,
I will keep the whispers and accusations about you to a minimum. I don't want any rumors about you created. Whatever adventures and curiosity you have left, do it outside of our home. I don't want you meddling in my work. After Wednesday nights, I don't want to see your horse birthmark ever again.
Her eyes widened. She gaped.
You mean...
She watched him walking away.
You know?
He slammed the back door shut. Moira winced.
Of course he does. He probably saw her after meeting Mother.
As she walked back to the fashion studio, As she walked back to the fashion studio, her shoulders slumped. Mosey kept her head down. She didn't feel like observing her people. After what happened, she never felt worse. She created a situation she didn't know how to control. What shall I ever do? She thought. Mr. Tumison saw her walking to her room. Seeing an employee of his was in the same vicinity, he couldn't say her proper name. Danisky, what's wrong? He grew worried over her sad face. She looked up at him and then noticed his male model. She sighed nervously before speaking.
I made my father upset. I got curious or something and ruined his chances of an opportunity.
She continued walking to her room. Mr. Tumison lightly shook his head. He eyed his male model.
I'll be right back, Yosef.
He followed Mosey. When he entered her room, he grunted. She disappeared. He didn't have to worry. He knew where she went. Mr. Tumison pushed against the wall to their secret room. After he saw her sitting on the floor, he shook his head again.
Stand up, Your Highness. You will get your outfit dirty, he whispered.
I won't, she whispered.
She sniffed.
I swept the room when I got...
He chuckled softly.
He already knew.
What was that?
He already knew. I told my mother about him. Tanaski said that he had herbal medicines that could help her. I think she's already talked to him.
And in the process, met your other half.
Exactly. And because of this metal that man showed, I got curious. It looked familiar. I don't understand how.
It stayed quiet. Mr. Tumison didn't have children. What would he know about situations like that? How would he lift her spirits? He shook his head with that in mind.
Come on, princess. You should get to bed. It's getting light.
The fashion designer touched her shoulder. She eyed him.
Are you certain? What about the other fittings?
The male fittings are left anyways. I can use Yosef.
He raised his brows. He smirked while he whipped his pinky against her left ear. She jumped, and her head instinctively shook. Mosey looked at him. As he chuckled, she giggled.
Mr. Tumison,
they heard. The two gasped. They rushed out of the secret room, closed it, and covered the crack with her vanity chest. They finished in record time when his male model knocked on the door. Yosef opened it.
What is keeping you? We have fittings to finish,
he said with a breathy and horrid British accent.
Yosef, I told you I'd be back. Get along. I'll be there in a few minutes.
His male model shrugged and headed back for a few moments. Mr. Tumison then rolled his eyes.
Honestly, he's starting to be a pain.
Is that why you hired Tanaski?
She asked, eyeing the fashion designer. As he looked at her, his head twitched.
You're trying to avoid him, aren't you?
What? I am not. I am... taking my time to find a different male model.
He straightened his wrinkled shirt. Mr. Tumison walked toward the bedroom. Moira snickered at his bravado.
Good night, Tanaski,
he teased. That time she rolled her eyes. He giggled.
Good night, Mr. To me,
she said, mimicking the model. He laughed and left the bedroom door open. She changed into a nightgown in the secret room. She was pretty tired, but she wanted to hear their voices while she got ready for bed. When she got under the covers, she wiggled her body. Princess Moira sighed.
This is much funner than my plush bed.
She closed her eyes with a smile.
It's perfect.
she whispered, though she had a rough night's sleep. The following morning, Mosey was standing still, waiting for the next pin to stick her skin. She knew it would come. He had accidentally done so the other day at least 6 times. Oh, wait, what? He had actually done so at least 6 times. As she eyed Mr. Thomason, she gulped. Relax, Tanaski. I'm not going to do it, I promised.
Yeah, you broke it 5 minutes ago.
He giggled. That was to make sure you were awake. Did you not get any sleep last night? He eyed her before threading a piece of material to the outfit.
I did,
she sighed.
I guess it's, well, it's not home.
I see. He put a pin where the piece ended to his client's outfit. After that, he stopped to think. He watched her tense face, which of course reminded him that she's a princess, not a civilian. Mr. Thomason smiled as an idea formed. He figured after she left, he would make 2 dresses for her. The designer knew she liked to stand out. I do have 2 more outfits that need fitting. He stood from being on the floor, glanced around, and moved closer to her ear. After that, you can visit the mines if need be. I know that helps you think clearly, he whispered. A grin formed from ear to ear on her face.
It seems you know me better than I thought. Thank you,
she whispered. You are welcome. She, of course, prepared herself before leaving the studio a few hours later. The fashion designer stopped her, though. He knew he had to tell her so she wouldn't forget.
What is it, Mr. Thomason?
Do be careful when you go to the mines. They may see your face as you, but you are dressed as one of us. He looked her in the eyes.
Thank you. I'll remember that.
She smiled. Mosey shook her head lightly as she rolled her eyes.
You know, this morning, I thought I was dreaming.
You're not, though. You're not, though? He placed a hand on her shoulder. Be safe.
I will.
She nodded.
I shall see you in a few hours.
Pulling up the teal hood, she decided to walk around the market, then through it. Princess Moira kept seeing boarded windows. One house even had plastic wrap for window covers. She knew her people were starving, but she didn't know about that. As her forehead made bumps and wrinkles, her brows narrowed.
Look out!
A kid called. A bouncing ball came her way. She smiled after she caught it. The girl walked up to her.
Thank you. You're welcome,
she said, giving the ball back. She pointed out the windows.
What happened here? You don't know. How long have you lived in Anur?
The little girl asked, not believing the princess's dumbfoundedness.
Please, I'd like to know.
The girl sighed and blew the long bangs out of her face.
Once a week, the city guards come and search our houses for foreign things. There have been rumors someone is trying to bring in bad materials or something.
Mosey narrowed her brows. She tried to remember that rumor and what happened before her mother fell ill. Her eyes widened when it entered her noggin. She was shocked.
You mean the illegal imports? That is still happening.
The girl shrugged. She didn't know about them. She thought it was because of smuggling historical artifacts. Who'd have thought?
I don't know. It's been going on for as long as I can remember.
Mosey nodded. She didn't expect her to remember the illegal imports had been going on for so long. It amazed the princess that it continued. She never thought it would.
Why are they still doing it?
She whispered to herself.
I'll have to figure that out later,
she thought. She couldn't stop thinking of the illegal imports as she walked to the royal mines. The details of it all were hazy to her. She would have recalled Paolo's request, were it not for the royal guards. She arrived sooner than she thought. As it so happened, two of them stood not far from her. Mosey did hear voices, but she didn't realize they were guards until the last second. She quickly hid behind a small fence. It seemed tall enough for her to crouch under. The princess scoffed when she accidentally hit a pile of dirt. It moved around her like a puff of smoke. Her person could not be seen from their angle as they continued talking. While they walked on, she eavesdropped in their conversation. "Can you believe it? One of us rummaged a random house for no reason." He scoffed in anger. "It still bugs me Queen Veronica hasn't stopped the order on that. The illegal imports stopped last year. Not one person does that anymore." "Still, we should continue the order," the comrade said. "Anything could happen. Even if no one does it anymore, you never know when that will happen. "I suppose. Remember what we learned, mate. It's when it is quiet that means trouble." "I still don't get that." His comrade smacked him upside the head. "Are you serious? You should. The worst could happen when it is quiet. People can be stealthy, you fool." "Shouldn't we be watching then? We're supposed to be making sure no one but us and the royal family searches these mines." Their voices faded. Mosey cautiously peeked over the fence. As they walked away, she climbed over the fence.
"What a sight," she whispered. "Mother would not approve of this climbing."
She looked around before walking toward the mines. Every time she saw a guard, she would hide. She was nervous to be seen. It disturbed her that they could accuse her for impersonating herself. That made her realize what the fashion designer really meant. She could be sent to the cells, even if she told the truth.
Uh-oh.
Whoops.
"I can't do this," she thought. "It is not even a full day. I cannot be sent there."
Despite her fear, the princess inched closer to her family's minds. She only managed 2 yards before another guard came.
"This isn't good,"
she whispered.
"I had forgotten how guarded these were. They are doing a great job," she thought.
She spotted one of the mines. She could see the miners pulling out more gold. For one single moment, she thought she saw something silver near one of the mine carts. Mosey shook her head and looked at it again. No, it couldn't be. The metal didn't shine.
"What was that?" one guard whispered.
He saw something teal moving. He lurched toward her. The guard then realized it was a woman. He readied his weapon, aiming at her.
"Halt!"
Moira gasped and stopped her steps. And I think I am going to stop there, but I'm not sure. Oh, wow. I actually have 2 minutes left. You know what? I'm actually going to keep reading just a little bit more. Maybe I'll change the stop part for next time. Right there, I suppose. Okay. Moira gasped and stopped her steps.
"Stand and face me."
She stood before turning to him. The princess kept her head low, avoiding his eyes.
"Let me see your face."
"I'd rather not,"
she thought as quickly as she could.
"My face has burns and marks. I'm so hideous, even the cats run from me."
She bit her lip, hoping he would believe the lie. Moira had never lied before. It nearly broke her heart to do so. Her stomach churned. She eyed the guard as he made an odd face.
"If that's the case, then I don't want to see."
He shook his head.
"Her Highness will want to speak with you. All intruders are to do so."
"Yes. Oh."
Mosey rolled her eyes.
"Of course. Mother and I enforced that together, she thought. Yes, sir.
They walked to the palace, not saying a single word to another. She could have ran. She should have. Her heart and feet told her to, but she didn't. She knew that if she did, she really would have been sent to the cells without talking to the royal family, her mother. Her eyes widened. Oh, no, she thought. And I think, yeah, that's where I'm going to stop. Oh, my gosh. Okay, and I actually do have to get going because I need to start the song. So I hope you all have a great morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit, saying goodbye with Lift Me Up. Oh, You Lift Me Up by Mikey Wax. This is actually one of my favorites, and I really hope you like it. Again, I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit, saying goodbye.
Up the pit.